This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Hello and welcome to Dynamic Banter. My name is Steve Zaragoza.
I'm Mike also.
Wow, we're coming off a whirlwind episode, Mike.
Yeah, this one's not going to be as good.
Well, definitely won't be as edgy your seat.
I got another stint put in.
I currently have a stint. Mike and I went out and got stints together, and we made a video. It's going to be on YouTube.
Turns out you got two ureters. That's an extra place for a stint.
Doctor, I know you've already put in a stint, but how many more can you get in there? I've got the money.
I've spent the money,
and I've got more.
I'm very hungry.
Dude, I've got a breakfast burrito if you want to go halfers on it.
No, I don't like breakfast burritos.
You don't like breakfast? Hold on, baby boy.
Okay.
You don't like breakfast burritos?
No, like not at all.
Wow.
Is that from Whole Foods?
Yeah.
That's even worse.
Okay, but look, dude.
Yeah.
Same.
Uh-huh.
I'm very picky about my breakfast burritos.
But it doesn't mean you won't spend $9.
No, here's the thing, dude. This was $5.
Uh-huh.
This little kissy, kissy, kissy,
that's my favorite K-pop song.
Kissy but kissy but kissy but kissy but kissy but kissy but right on my lips. So Whole Foods usually has like their big old fat BBs breakfast burritos, and they're full of like peppers and fucking olives, and
they put peppers and onions in
everything. Yeah, plantains, spaghetti. Peppers and onions. Teriyaki chicken. Well, I guess that's not bad. Peppers and onions would be fine in a teriyaki chicken.
Sure.
Macaroni and cheese, peppers and onions.
Yeah.
But this one, dude. Was like there were only two of them,
limited edition,
and it was in a tray next to the ones that are fucking filled with every vegetable in the grocery store.
What did it just say? Less,
dude. It's just an egg, bacon, potato, and cheese burrito.
That's nice.
Just
That's
a
nice.
Plain Jane.
You know how they put
what's
salsa
your name?
In everything.
I know, man.
Like, you don't have to do that. Not everyone likes that.
That's the thing. And like I was curious because I was like, nah.
Uh huh.
I looked at this and I was like. Nah.
Yeah, I dare you.
And I looked at the
I dare you not to have onions in it thing that was made at Whole Foods.
Dude, I looked in the ingredients and it's got no onions, no peppers.
Potassium benzoin.
No salsa.
Mm-hmm. It specifically says no salsa in this one.
It says no salsa, Steve. and Mike. Dude, it's just a fucking baby boo. It's a simpy Ren and Simpy.
Ren and Simple.
It's a Ren and Simple.
Good. Can I have it?
Yeah, let's go halfers on it.
No.
Yeah.
I want the whole thing.
Oh, okay. Well, here.
That's a good
Happy birthday, buddy. Got you a breakfast burrito.
Does this mean I won't get anything in October?
But do you stay away from breakfast burritos?
Yeah, I don't.
Like at restaurants and stuff?
Yeah, I've never. You know where's good? Crave. Any of
yeah.
the Craves?
Yeah.
And they put everything in a crepe. That's real nice.
Dude, hell yeah. Yeah, the breakfast crepe is delicious. The savory crepe.
I just don't like breakfast burrito. I would rather, I'm a two-egg, little bit of meat, little bit of potato boy.
Are you not a burrito guy at all?
No, I like burritos. It's just a lot, always.
It is a lot.
And you feel obligated to finish it no matter what. And you hold
That's
it,
true,
and you're like,
you
this
can't.
Is all. This is going to be me in a bit.
Yeah, and like, you're right. It's you get three quarters down, and you're like... Uh-oh.
God, I've got an obligation.
I had every breakfast item possible wrapped up in an edible plate.
Yeah. Why do
but
they
that's
use
the best part
tortillas?
About it.
Why
because
don't they
it's...
use like a pancake?
Wow, breakfast burrito with a pancake.
I don't think it's enough calories
well,
in
I
a
think...
regular breakfast burrito.
What can we do? Well, the crave, like the crepe is kind of like putting it in a pancake.
Yeah, that's why I like
the
it.
The savory crepe. A lot of people don't know the savory crepe is a thing. The savory creep.
Savory creep. Yeah.
Is a thing. Yeah. A lot of people are like, crepes have Nutella and fucking strawberries and shit.
No.
But you can get a savory crepe.
Oh, man. So many good things come in crepe. You can put anything you want. A little feta. Dude, Zoya's Albanian family introduced me to crepes, homemade crepes with feta and syrup.
What the
and
fuck?
When I first started going over there, and they make it most mornings. And when I first started going over there, I was like, uh-oh, here's a thing.
Here's some weird foreign shit that's going to make me sick.
Not sick, but like if I don't like it, I have to make the face in front of the family. Mm. And I had it, and I was like, I only want this from now on.
Yeah. That sounds like the equivalent of the like a quesadilla, like a Mexican. Well, like in a Mexican household, all sorts of foods are present, as you're aware. Food is a huge part of that culture. As it is
Mexican food?
Mexican food is a culture.
Okay.
And my grandma, I've said this a million times, the audience is sick of it, but I don't know, maybe you didn't know this.
I
think I talked about it on Dynamic Banter. The tacos of butter.
Yes.
Where my grandma would just rub a stick of butter over a fucking piping hot, fresh off the stove flour tortilla.
Uh-huh.
And then put like just a pinch of salt.
Okay.
Roll that baby up, put a tissue under it so that the butter drippings don't get onto my precious soft boy hands.
Yeah, you do have soft hands.
You did at the time. They're still soft, but not as soft. There's a little gristle. And yeah, man, I would choke those down. And that was just like fucking not good for you.
No, it's not good.
It's not good.
I used to, when my parents weren't home and I wanted a snack and I wanted that snack to be hot, I would get a tortilla and I'd sprinkle the Mexican seasoned cheese, shredded cheese on it.
Yeah.
And I'd put that in the microwave for about 15 seconds.
Oh, yeah, man. That's
a
party.
And roll it up, and I'd put like hot sauce.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good time.
This has been.
I'm sad to learn that. Is it just because you've been wronged? Okay, so it has nothing to do with the breakfast burrito in general. It's just that you feel like it's too much.
Well, there's two things. I don't like breakfast burritos, although that is, I already said what I don't like about them. I don't like when there's salsa, and I don't like when there's all their
ancillary
shit.
Everything,
they make every place out here is like there's so many good places to eat, but every place trying to make something fancy with onions.
Yeah.
It's like a Christmas tree with tinsel. Like you can go overboard with tinsel.
Yes, you can.
Like that's a steel, that looks like a steel platinum Christmas tree.
Yeah.
That's too much.
Yeah. People put onions in everything because it's just like a flavor.
Kind of.
At that point.
Like I'm not an onion person.
I had pho last night, and it had so much onions in it. And I was like, when does pho have onions in it?
I mean, as long as I've...
Really? It's always had onions in it? Like green onions.
Yeah.
But
and
like
the white ones.
Big old thick...
Circle
boys?
Yeah.
Maybe I just haven't been having real pho.
See, maybe...
Last night I had real pho for the first time, I guess.
Do you go to a place?
I went to a place. Yeah, I used to do. You're going to laugh at me. There's a pho place in the mall.
Uh huh.
That I. In the mall, quote unquote.
You want me to shame you for going to the mall to eat authentic pho?
I mean, yeah. I wasn't expecting it to be authentic, but I was expecting it to be like as close to pho, whatever
it's
pho
called, like,
is.
Noodle Dan's or something.
It's called pho your information.
Dude, I hate that. Pho places are just as bad as improv teams as far as naming their shit.
Yeah, yeah. Pho your own good.
Yeah. Pho
king.
Yourself.
Or pho king. There is a pho king.
Yeah. And it's like...
I don't know if it's meant to be a joke, though. Because it's like
mean?
A chain.
Has to be
and
a joke.
And it's like...
They know what they're doing.
I don't think you can get something like that. I don't think you can register a place that's literally called fucking.
But
as a business.
Not, it's not called fucking. It's called faux king.
But it's kind of like, consider it like the DMV. You know how you're like, I want to get this license plate. And it basically says titties, but it uses like the number 8 7 times and a D somewhere. And
titties.
And if you look at it backwards in a mirror, or if you use your front-facing camera and take a picture, it says, I love tits or something.
Yeah.
Like you can't just straight up, like even if it looks like it says I love tits,
yeah,
the DMV will be like, nah, dude.
Can you read something for me?
Yeah,
I took a picture of this yesterday. It shouldn't be allowed. Go ahead and read that. Tell the audience what that is.
Okay, this is a photo of a car. It looks like Mike took a photo from his car.
Stopped at a red light.
Oh, man.
The bumper sticker.
I know.
Yeah.
It's a license plate.
Yeah.
The bumper sticker is pretty great, too, because like, what's going on there?
Because it used to be a bumper sticker.
Yeah.
And now it's tatters. Now it looks like the American flag you raised after the Civil War.
The one that was actually a part of the war.
Yeah, the one that you used as a tourniquet for a second.
The license plate says swag 365.
Yeah, that shouldn't be allowed. I would take 1,000 titties spelled with 8 before I.
What did the did you see what the person looks like?
Doesn't matter. I don't think it matters.
Did you look though?
No.
Oh man.
Because I just know
that's
that
so
whatever's
important
in
me.
That car, I would never be friends with who's ever.
Of
in that
course,
car.
But I just had to know. Mm-hmm. I would have to know.
Okay, then let's do an exercise. What do you think that person looks like? And before you answer,
well, this
you're
is,
right.
Great. Well, I don't need to say it anyway because it would border on racist.
White guy trying too hard. Racist.
I love the license plates that say like kiss 95 or so, or like sweet kisses or something, and then okay. It's just like the oldest man in the world driving.
Yeah,
it.
I heart fish.
I love when the license plate doesn't match the driver at all. That's my favorite thing.
Yeah, that is good. What if
it's like Samantha's babies, yeah. And it's just like
old man.
Yeah, like or like a super muscular dude.
Yeah,
where's Samantha? Did you eat Samantha? Did you murder Samantha and you took her car?
Do you think anyone's ever lucked out with a vanity plate, but they got it randomly? They're just like, give me a plate. And it just happened to say swag 365.
Yeah, like maybe there was like a pile of like, these are plates that just, this is the pile of
I'm talking about
personal
randomly issued numbers and letters.
There's no fucking
like,
way.
Like 7 years before it was like pop culture to say swag.
Right, right.
It and says so, like oh, swag
bet.
Daddy 6.
I mean, I'm pretty...
Like, these are just random.
It would be like SWGDDY6.
Swagged out.
And it's just like. Mike, who has the Streamy? The SourceFed Streamy?
Oh, I don't know.
Do you really not know?
Why would the fuck would I know?
I don't know. And the Valley folk were talking about it. We were like, we should display the Streamy here.
Uh huh.
And
that
you
would
know,
be funny if Subtic had it.
Yeah, we're kind of like in a real like whodunit kind of situation right now because we're not sure. Like I know that when SourceFed was shutting down, there was a mad rush to get like the most expensive stuff.
Yeah, some of us were rushing the other way.
You missed out on some good stuff then, man.
I
unless
don't think
you
so.
Did you snag a little something? You know,
I got
to...
a puppet.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and then I was out.
I
was
really
like,
wanted,
I can make good use of this later. See ya.
I wanted the Nintendo Switch so bad.
Everyone was like clamoring after the video game shit, and I was like, bitches, we still get a paycheck. Fucking
yeah, but like, there's nothing games. Better than a free video game system.
You don't appreciate it that much.
When it's free?
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's true.
You don't appreciate any, it's psychological. You don't appreciate anything you don't pay for as much as something that you pay.
I appreciate free food. More than
yeah,
food
but
I pay
eat
for.
It and it's gone, you shit it out. It becomes shit. And then you're out. Steve, we talked about. Bless you. I felt bad for you for the second one.
Thanks, man. Yeah. The thing that sucks about it is it's almost like you're about to come and you don't get to.
Yeah. Blue nose. Blue nostrils.
I got blue nose. I think food is the exception, man. You're right about it. Like, and I've talked about this whole thing too of like why spend so much fucking money on food when you're just gonna fucking poop it out, like you get one.
Well, that argument doesn't make sense because you have to stay alive.
Right, but like why spend so much money on it? Like why go to a restaurant where it's like you're gonna spend $100 on yourself?
Uh-huh.
And when you could just get that same nutrition, at the very least, that same nutrition for way less than that.
Well, there's a bunch of reasons why people do that.
Sure. I mean, obviously, it's palate and it's taste, and they want to enjoy the fancier
quality.
Things.
Quality. Someone's a much
sure,
better cook
sure.
than you.
And I totally understand that, and yeah. That's cool.
First of all, lower your voice.
First of all, sit down for a second. Why are you standing? Why are your fists... Why are your knuckles white?
When did you get a knife?
But I feel like... you know how you said like you don't appreciate things as much as when they're free.
Uh-huh.
I think food is the exception. I think food is the only exception because I agree with you.
Mm-hmm.
But I've been like, I've sat down to like a pretty fancy meal that was like on a company or something.
Yeah,
and I was just like, this is the fucking best steak I've ever had.
Okay,
you know what I mean? Like, there's just that feeling of like, I'm not paying for this.
Yeah,
and I'm going to sit here and enjoy it. Or like, how about this?
Let me simplify it.
You know, like when you go to a restaurant and you're like, this is fancier than I'm used to because a company invited you or like you're having a meeting or something.
Humble.
And someone is like, you've done this.
Yeah.
You've been in the industry long enough. You've been taken to a nice dinner.
You've been had steak.
It's not that I love it. It's just that there's that fun feeling of like when someone's like, oh, this is on Nerdist or something. And then literally get whatever you want.
This is on Chris Hardwick.
Yeah.
That would feel good. Knowing that somebody, a piece of shit, paid for your...
But the thing is like, but let's be honest, most of the people that own those companies are pieces of shit. Like, that's just kind of like...
Yeah,
the,
there's, I mean, I'm feeling, I'm at a point in my career where I'm feeling a certain way about people who make money off of creative people, because they're not creative people.
Yeah.
And Elliot's a better person to talk to about this, about capitalism and the difference
Hold on. Elliot is someone to talk to about capitalism?
Elliot likes to talk about capitalism recently a lot. So you can go ahead and listen to him do that recently. But there's the thing about like the unappreciative, not appreciating the working class as much because they're the people who do the grunt work. And that's kind of how I feel about creative. In an industry where people make millions of dollars don't have any creative ideas.
Does this have anything to do with Elon Musk thing? Did you see what was happening on Twitter with
Musk? He said he created like 4 billion jobs.
He like saved 4 billion families or something.
Sure.
I what happened? Like, I feel like the tide shifted on Elon Musk.
I feel like
everyone loved him, and now everyone's like, fuck you, Elon Musk.
Well, people don't like a lack of humility. I don't think regular people...
he used to do it. He used to be like, fuck it, I'm going to fucking release a flamethrower, because I just want to. Yeah. And people were like, yeah!
Yeah, Elon!
Because it's
let's
like...
Let's use it at WrestleMania!
People love the idea of a guerrillionaire, like someone who's just like more rich than any,
who
like,
has more gorillas than you could possibly need,
and they love the idea of them having an idea that they would have. Like, they love the idea of feeling like, you know, like Trump to a degree speaks to a type of people that...
Like, I think that, and he's the president.
Yeah, and the president's saying that shit? Fuck, I don't have to hide my racism anymore. It's almost, it's like that, but with people love that. People love to, like, relate to, like, super powerful billionaires.
Successful people.
Uh-huh. And Elon Musk is not the exception. And he's very much like... they love that he just like was like, fuck it, I'm gonna launch a car into space, and people are like, fuck it,
yeah,
put a car in space,
test the brakes.
And it's like, how much did that cost? And before you answer that, did you know that there's parts of the world in the United States where their water is rust?
Yeah. Like, I do like that someone was like, anytime you want to help Flint, Michigan, that would be dope. Maybe the car is going to space to bring back alternative
space
water.
The mission the whole time was to bring space water.
Breaking news, Elon Musk brings space water to Flint, Michigan.
Saves the planet with space water.
This water multiplies itself.
I'm a scientist, and I'm baffled by space water. Basically, what we can do... You know what? Let me just simplify this. This is an empty glass. This is a glass of space water. As you watch me pour this glass of space water into this empty glass, you'll notice that the space water glass does not empty. And thus, space water.
This has been
space water. Could you imagine? God, that would... Could you imagine if water could just...
If
we found magic
accidentally,
water...
We would be the people being like, we fucking thought of that!
Yeah, yeah.
We're Elon Musk, too!
Trump would be like, this is why I assembled the Space Force to find space water.
That's what I'm saying, man. Everyone just wants to take credit. Elon Musk is different because he's actually a genius.
Yes.
But everyone wants to take credit for shit that they couldn't possibly do. Like fans of sports teams. We're right behind the professional athletes all the way, and that's why they won. Really?
Our team, the team I own,
we caught the ball,
we did it, we ran. We worked out for fucking weeks.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning every day and work out for 6 hours. Yeah.
We eat only spinach.
Oh, man. Everything I want to say is more offensive.
I know. I know. It's fun.
I'll get to
it's
the
fun
point.
To have your own podcast.
I'll get to the point where I'm brave enough to say everything I want to say someday.
I know. I can't wait till we get older.
It's just inventing something or having more money, and then you say whatever you want, and then people agree with you.
Yeah, and I guess it's easy to be like, you're a fucking, you have more money than a human will ever need.
Uh-huh.
Why don't you fucking help people? But it's like, of course it's like.
But you can help people. Sorry, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say that, like, you know, Elon Musk is probably like, I'm sure he's helping people too. I think he is a philanthropist and on the side.
Sure.
Or at least I think so. I don't want to have misinformation, but if you could also just be like, I fucking earned this. I don't have to give it all away to someone.
Yeah,
that's fine. But it's like, if you actually have enough money for like five comfortable human lifetimes.
If you bought Flint, Michigan,
yeah,
and it still wouldn't make a dent in how you live for the rest of your five
and how
lifetimes.
And how generations of your family will live,
yeah,
then fucking cough it up, man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Why
cough
not?
It fucking up.
Why not? All it does is make you look like a better person, even if you just take it, if you convert it into poker chips and you just slide it to Flint, Michigan.
Dude,
you take it. Don't even tell anyone I gave it to you.
I think these people, and this is just... people might think that I'm like, this is my word is truth.
People
and,
might think that this has been.
But in reality, it has not. Let's have a shirt that says that. People might think this, or there should just be a shirt that says this has been.
Absolutely.
Anyway.
After we sell out of the other ones. Also, dynamicbanter.clothing. There's a red one.
Yeah, and there's some great shirts, guys.
The tagline. There's a red one now.
Hey guys, newsflash, there's a red one.
So what were you gonna say?
I was just gonna say that I feel like, I don't know, maybe this just sounds like human psychology to me.
Favorite Michael Jackson song.
But you know how you feel, you know how like you try to put your mind in the mind, or you try to at least simulate the idea of what it must be like to be like a Justin Bieber or a Michael Jackson.
Every day since either of them came out.
And it's like, you know, people don't realize that even to the, like, grain of sand level of, like, quote-unquote fame that you and I have felt in this industry, people will recognize us sometimes, and it's fun, and it's never a problem, and I love it, and I love saying hi to people like that. But, like, for someone like Justin Bieber or Michael Jackson way back in the day, like, they couldn't – their lives – cannot be like ours in any way.
So they had to build their own theme park in their backyard.
Like, you, Justin Bieber can't go like, yo, dog, let's go to Carl's Jr.
Yeah.
Because it'll be like, you could ruin someone's day by going. Justin Bieber could ruin someone's day by going to Carl's Jr. Could ruin someone working there's day, because they'd have to deal with the massive crowds of people and the trash and the fucking whatever. You know what I mean?
Like the massive crowds of trash.
The massive crowds of trash. And so, anyway, what I'm trying to say is this is kind of tangential, but what I'm trying to say is that what must happen to the human mind? When you are a young man or a young woman and you now have more money than a young man or young woman would ever need.
Oh, yeah.
And you have more power than a young man or a young woman has ever had.
You end up fucking up and then somebody calls a Me Too on you.
Right.
And then there's a bunch of YouTube videos explaining what you've done.
And there's a lot of bad tweets about you. Shouldn't search your name.
But that getting really successful when you're really young is very bad. Very like detrimental.
Yeah, it's terrifying.
Yeah. And it takes a lot to stay not even normal, just stay like good. And there are a bunch of people who should be praised for doing their best.
You know?
Like, I don't think that Taylor Swift is a piece of shit. No. She found
love in success. a hopeless place.
Yeah, she found love in a homeless place once. And there are a bunch of people who, but then there are so many people who get all this money when they're too young, and it just like ruins them.
But then there's the exception. There's like literally the only exception I can think of with like a like young stars like getting filthy fucking rich and then like actually like maintaining a semblance of a wonderful career. Like I, and this is so strange, but I keep bringing this up. Yesterday, Elliot and I streamed a Valley Folk stream on twitch.tv/thevalleyfolk and on Wednesday nights. And it was just he and I, and we just like started going off on, we started talking about the Olsen twins and how like the Olsen twins to you and I, older male gentlemen,
yeah,
where we would see them as just like the cute little girls on Full House that were funny and said a catchphrase, and then they did movies and little girls loved them, and now they're like fashion business women and they're
Eastas.
And now they're doing just fine. But I think they're the only example of like child stars that like came out and didn't, I mean, there was some scandals here and there, but nothing like a fucking Corey Haim or a Corey Feldman or a Macaulay Culkin or anything like that. Like, and even like they like built an empire. They decided to shift from like cute little girls doing TV shows and movies and decided to just get into the fashion world. And now they're like, they're just,
they never had a choice though. I bet they had a bunch of adults be like, okay, we need to make sure these girls don't become serial killers.
I think you're right. I think you're right. I think to a point, there was probably someone in their camp that was like, let's do this right. But I also think, and I'm pretty sure this is true, the Olsen twins like just became big fans of fashion and then like wanted to make fashion. And eventually what they did was they made high-end fashion accessible to like little girls like at Walmart basically, when in a time where like high-end fashion was not available to little girls, which is like crazy awesome. And so I think coupled with their interest in fashion, there must have been someone that was like, yeah, let's make sure they don't become Corey Haim and Corey Feldman. Or
that's great. That's also, it's also way different, and not to discount anything that they did, because I don't know their story.
I know, and neither did I much, but I've been talking to people about it, and their story.
Every new person you meet about
the Olsen twins. What do you guys think about the Olsen twins? Dude, they're like, I respect them. I have like respect for the Olsen twins.
Yeah.
Their story is fascinating. It really is.
They used to be one baby.
They used to be one baby, they fooled America.
I was always so confused. Like, why is there two names?
It's like, that's weird.
Opening credits.
Maybe she likes two different names and she couldn't choose.
That's one hyphenated name, Mary Kate and Ashley Olsen.
And is her middle name.
Yeah.
Dude.
Please, and is my father's name.
Probably Mary Kate or Ashley.
You know what? I'm going to get going.
The point I was trying to get to with this whole celebrity thing is
Donald Trump has a couple good ideas.
And even the Elon Musk thing of like, if you've got fucking tons of money, share it. You'll be a good person or whatever. Well, you'll be looked at as a good person and be respected. I think that these people that have more money than we'll ever imagine, that we'll ever be able to even comprehend, I have a suspicion that because a lot of them lived a life so incredibly different from any of ours, where no was never heard, where everything they've ever wanted was given to them,
where seldom is heard a discouraging word.
I feel like they got to an age where once they were an adult, they've probably done everything.
Like, how can we get a couple no's?
I'm trying to get some no's.
Oh, we have to say the no's.
Dude, I really, and that's the thing too. I think that you get to a level of fame and a level of financial stability where people around you start to just like say everything you want to hear.
Uh-huh.
And they're never genuine to you. And you're just like stuck in this depressing world of like, I can't have a real friend and I can't have a real life.
Yeah.
And I feel like there has to be a facet of that that turns into an adult that's just like, has a distorted view of even good and bad, like of what good and bad is.
Yeah.
And even probably thinks, why do I have to give money to the poor?
Yeah.
Why do I have to help anybody?
Why can't I hunt people on an island?
Why can't I hunt? Like, I'm a rich person that has lived a life that is incomprehensible.
Let's go cut the tusks to the off working an man.
Yeah. they and that's probably why they get to a point where they truly believe there's nothing wrong with like murdering elephants and shit. Because yeah. they're probably at a level of humanity and psychology where they're just like, nothing matters.
Mm-hmm.
I can kill every elephant on the planet and yeah. and make elephants extinct.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it won't matter.
Uh-huh.
And it won't matter what you think because eventually this planet will disappear.
Also, it doesn't matter how many protests or angry yeah. angry tweets doesn't matter. There are.
Yeah.
Because it's not like one of the Trump kids, how they murdered elephants and stuff.
Yeah.
It's like you could have the whole country mad at you and it's not going to affect
matter.
Your bank
account.
Does
not matter.
Because you're too rich. But like, yeah. I'm, to make it about me, I've never been at
well,
a
you're
point,
the only person you fully know.
I'm the only person in this chair right now. I've literally never been at a point where I haven't had to work as hard as I possibly can at everything in order to like make ends meet.
Right.
And I think that puts you at a level of psychology yeah, where you don't give a, I don't give a fuck about Elon Musk.
Yeah.
Like I don't care what he does. I don't give a shit because it'll never affect
right.
me
right.
and how I need to support like me and Zoya. That's right. pretty much all I think about is like, what could I do to make me and Zoya's life better, and what can I do to show appreciation to people who have been watching me do this dumb shit for old dumb shit. I take a lot of pride in what I do. I don't know why I said that. I'm always doing that. I'm always like, oh, YouTube, this and that.
I know, same.
But you know what that's from?
It's self-deprecation.
Other people. It's from other people who ruin it.
Yeah.
It's like I've yeah. always worked as hard as I possibly can on podcast
you
stuff.
You can say Jake
YouTube
Paul.
Stuff.
Just say
no,
it.
No, I am going to. Jake Paul will come out from already a privileged
background.
You can
say Jack's Films.
Jack's Films from a privileged I don't know jack shit about Jack's Films.
I know. He's just a nice guy.
Don't you guys, aren't you friends?
Yeah, we're
okay,
friends.
Okay, well, this is about him now. I'm unfamiliar. But these people from these extremely privileged backgrounds come and they try to make shit because it's just like the place to be. And it buries everyone who busts their ass forever to make it possible for companies to like want to put money into YouTube and shit
right.
like that. It's like people like us who have been doing it for like years and years, paved the way for all of these like rich little brat bitches to come yeah. in and make so much more money than we ever have
yeah.
because we paved the way.
Yeah.
You know? And I never talk like this because I don't want to like toot my own horn. I'm just,
but it's
my
true.
Parents taught me to work hard and I'll never feel bad for working hard, but I'm definitely done with like the self-deprecation and being like, oh, it's only YouTube and blah, blah, blah. I've worked real hard for a long time.
And the thing is you you're not alone in that sensibility, and you're not alone in that mindset, because there are countless people in this country alone and all over the world that work as hard as they possibly can,
mm-hmm.
fingers to the bone, to bring food home to their family
yeah.
and to survive and to live on this harsh planet.
My parents are two of them.
My mom posted a thing about how she was fucking in the fields picking cilantro and picking vegetables and shit when she first moved to Oxnard as a kid, and she just had to. She worked in the fields just like all the other immigrant workers, and
mm-hmm.
And well, she wasn't an immigrant, but she was she's the child
first
of immigrants. She's first generation, yeah. You know, there's so many people that are hardworking people and will live and die hardworking people.
Mm-hmm.
And may never achieve a comfortable stability in life.
Yeah.
And those are the people that we speak to, and to a certain degree. I mean, I don't consider myself a hard-working to the bone American.
I don't consider myself a hard-working person.
I consider myself like a really lucky person. Uh-huh. I consider myself like...
You believe in luck?
I mean, to a degree, only because it's like my story is... such that there shouldn't be success at the end of my story, because it's just like no,
and I don't think there will be.
And there will, there really won't be. And this is bit yeah, and it's one of those things where it's like you know, I just against all odds, I found a comfortability in life that I'm very thankful for, and obviously hard work is a part of that. But I think you're right about, I mean, it's not even I think you're right. You're right. these hardworking people who have been in the trenches, regardless of what the trenches, the definition of trenches are to you, working retail, working in the fields, whatever, even though they're different degrees of working hard, it's still working hard. You also
way below actual trenches where bullets are coming at you.
Right. But you develop that feeling of... you know, doing the right thing is the right thing to do, and being a good person is the right thing to do, because one day it'll help, it'll pay forward. You believe in karma or putting out good energy into the world or whatever.
Yeah.
And I think that it's easy for people who, I mean, I don't know. And again, what do I know? But I do know some people who were born into money came into money as babies, and basically, like, you know, we're baby business people.
Yeah.
And I think that there's a different perspective on life where it's like there's a safety net forever.
And I think those people are really good at making sure they're taken care of too.
Yeah.
And that's the way, that's a hustle.
And it's very much them first. And again, this is a generalization. It's not all of them, but there is a concept of me first and the gimme gimmies. And
hashtag me first.
And I think it's to no fault of just how they grew up. I mean, if you end up growing up and it's not your fault, you came into money or you were born into money. And at that point, it's like, you know, it's a psychological thing.
Such a shitty rich person to do to come into money. Like, you don't have to do that. You can't use a napkin like a plebeian.
I've seen people who came from money, do respectable things, yeah, and work hard, and they had jobs their whole life, and I've seen that, and that's really awesome, and I think that's great. But I think there is a degree of it where you live such a different life. You get to a point where you're like, good and bad doesn't matter, and well, I'm gonna live my life because that's all I have.
Yeah, I mean, anyone could do what they want, but I think that
I just think there's a correlation between money and no money, obviously, when it comes to like your outlook on life.
Yeah, but doing the work.
And I think that's not a hot take at all. I think that's just like I think that's literally like one of the biggest discussions when it comes to money.
Uh-huh. I think people's attitudes and the way people treat other people. But yeah. I think the best people are the ones that recognize the imbalance or the correlation and try to fix it, use their privilege to help.
Sure. With that said,
is this somebody trying guitar for the first time?
This is someone who has been practicing the guitar for 2 months, and they're at Christmas and their family was like, come on, bring out the play the guitar for the family.
Mom, I only know one strumming come pattern, on, and it hurts.
You're so good. We hear you in your room. You're so good.
All right, well, as long as Dennis plays piano behind me.
Well, Dennis is going to drown you out. He's very good.
Dennis has been dead for 3 years.
But he's better than ever at the piano. Guys, this episode of Dynamic Banter is brought to you by Squarespace. Squarespace is an absolutely wonderful sponsor. We love them very much. We've been with Squarespace for quite a while, maybe even since the beginning. And, you know, Mike uses Squarespace. Mike's website, MikeFalzone.com, is a Squarespace website. So if you want an example of how beautiful and wonderful your website can look, go to MikeFalzone.com and check out his website. And, you know, Mike's not a web developer. He's not a designer. Well, I guess you could say he's an artist for sure, but I wouldn't say he's a designer. I don't think he'd put it on his resume. He's out of the room right now. He went to the bathroom. So, you know, he can't defend himself here. But I will say his website looks wonderful, and that's because Squarespace makes it so easy to make a beautiful website. They have templates created by world-class designers, so you don't have to design them. You don't have to worry about it. There's so many beautiful templates, and they're all great looking. There's a powerful e-commerce functionality that lets you sell your stuff online very easily. You can customize the look and feel, settings, products, and more with just a few clicks. Everything is optimized for mobile right out of the box, and there's a new way to buy domains and choose from over 200 extensions. Like, I think .ninja is one of them.
That's pretty good. You don't want people to find your website?
Yeah, but if you want a cool website to put on your business card, like joey.ninja. Yeah. It's Joey, like, holy shit.
Joey.ninja, hashtag right behind you. Hashtag on the
slash ceiling. Right behind you.
Slash.
There's built-in search engine optimization. There's free and secure hosting. And there's nothing to patch or upgrade ever. It's not software. It's a beautiful, just web-based, awesome tool. And they've got their 24/7 award-winning customer support, which you know you gotta love. When you need help at any time, any point of your day, you're selling stuff, you wake up at 2 in the morning because you're scared your stuff isn't selling, and suddenly your shop's broken or something, you can call the 24/7 award-winning customer support, and they will help you.
There's a friend of mine who wants to start a clothing line, and I was like, she's using a different website builder thing to build the website, and mm-hmm. I was like, you should build Squarespace. And now I think I have to disclose that conversation to the FCC.
So guys, why don't you go on over to squarespace.com/banter for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, use the offer code banter to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/banter. Check it out. Squarespace is great. We love them.
It is. Check what are their Mike Falzone if you'd like. MikeFalzone.com.
Mike, I said that you weren't a designer, but I said you were an artist.
Okay.
Do you feel like that's a true statement? Like, would you put designer on your resume?
I've worked as a designer before.
So you would say you were a designer?
I wouldn't say that first. I would say I'm an artist first.
That's what I thought.
Somebody was like, dude, I drew something the other day and I put it
dude,
on Instagram.
Dude, your drawings are amazing.
Thanks, man.
Jesus
it's just
Christ.
Fun. I used to draw all the time. I used to want to be a cartoonist.
I had no idea.
I haven't done it in like years.
Dude, it's like I have Gallery 1988 and like art print poster stuff on my timeline.
Yeah.
And
that stuff is awesome.
When I saw yours, I was like, oh, cool, another Gallery 88 art piece.
Yeah.
And
maybe
it was
give
you,
me a job.
Dude. Jesus Christ, you're so good.
Thanks, man. I like the people who are like, what the fuck, did you draw this?
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, man, I'm an artist. And like when people find my music and they're really like, it's almost like they're mad that they're surprised that they like a song. Like, dude, I got a different brain, player. I make stuff.
Yeah.
It's okay to like it.
We are artists.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's what I do. I'm sorry.
Look, it's okay to be surprised at how amazing we are. That's okay. In fact, I put a drawing or two up on my site and people have been like, holy shit.
Yeah.
And it's a nice feeling because it's like, yeah, but it's part of me. It's something I've always done. And just like you said, you've always drawn. You've always wanted to be a cartoonist or something. Mm-hmm. Same.
Yeah.
And I love it, man. I think your art is great.
Thank you very much. I think you're the best at specifically drawing on a small tablet in game.
yeah, drawings.
In a game scenario.
Like the TKO shirts
and
stuff.
Like,
yeah, I love
can't,
doing that.
No matter what, I can't
we
do it.
We should give you a stylus. Do you think a stylus would help?
Maybe. I really like using a stylus.
Have you used a stylus?
Google gave me FCC. They gave me it. I don't know what to say to make myself as safe as
hashtag
possible.
Ad.
But I'm doing another video hashtag for the Chromebooks.
Oh,
and they
great.
Gave me this new one that it's a laptop, but it folds completely
flat.
Yeah.
Oh, it folds down like the Westworld computers?
I've never seen Westworld.
All right. It's like the Inspector Gadget, Penny's book that you open up.
Well, you know how you open up a regular laptop?
Yes.
This has probably already been going on too long. And it folds all the way around.
Oh, so you break it.
You break it a little bit, and it doesn't break.
It makes so many snap sounds, but it does fold over.
But then a little stylus pops out, and you could draw
that's
on the thing
awesome.
With a like a tablet.
And is it great?
It's the shit.
I love that.
That's how I've been drawing all this shit.
My brother and I have always been into like little doodle apps and stuff, and we've always like played around
doodle
with things
apps.
Like that. Doodloop. Mm-hmm. And he bought this thing that was like a Kickstarter device, and I don't remember what it's called, but it was just like an 8x10 pad, digital pad.
Uh-huh.
And the screen was like, it felt like paper.
Oh, cool. Was it like a Wacom tablet?
Sort of. Only in the sense that the paper was the screen.
Uh-huh.
And you could draw on it. And it was like you were drawing a pencil on paper.
Yeah.
And the drawings, like, it looked like you were just drawing on paper, but it was all digital.
That's really cool.
And I was like, fuck, I'm so into that. I always love those kinds of things. And I miss using a Wacom tablet.
Mm-hmm.
I used to have one
Not
way
a
back
sponsor.
In the day. And I miss using them, and I always look at those Cintiq ones, which are like the Pixar, like all people who work in like storyboards and animation.
Yeah.
It's one of those just like giant like monitors that they just draw on. Like whenever you see a behind the scenes thing for like a movie, there's always someone using a Cintiq.
And they've been sitting for too long.
Yeah. And their ass is numb and they're going to die. Blood clots. Dude, I always just like, I'll just like sometimes make my way onto Amazon. I'll be like, I want a Cintiq, man. And I can't justify it.
Yeah. Because
I'm not going to make things.
Yeah.
I'm just going to doodle.
See, that's the thing with the Friends and Friends show. I've been doing this thing where I make like I want to make a stand-up flyer that's unlike anybody else's thing.
I love the style of the Friends and Friends Instagram account.
Thank you.
And I love
very
all
much.
That style. Who's doing your art for you?
Is I'm it
you?
Doing all of it.
You're doing that?
All these things?
Yeah.
Yeah, I do all
Jesus
that.
Christ, Mike. It's so good.
And it's but it's like the way that when they gave it to me, they were like, what do you think you could use it for? Do you think you could find a whatever? And I'm like, I'm sure I could put something in
videos.
And that
you've been doing those on like your on this thing they gave you?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
How do I get one?
I could talk to some people.
Please, I would love one because I can't justify the cost of one.
Yeah.
Because they're not cheap. Sorry if that steps on you.
No, you'd
bit.
Be surprised.
Really?
Yeah, it's way cheaper than I thought that it would
okay,
be.
Well, that's good to hear.
It's cheaper than anything that Apple makes.
Well, that's like, not hard, but yeah, I get that.
I mean.
Apple's, I mean, come on. Apple's just about the most expensive Apple. Things you can get. But yeah, man.
Comparing Mac to oranges.
I can't justify buying one because I just feel like I would.
How do you justify buying a giant ET, but you can't do something that'll bring you so
because,
much joy?
Because ET is something we've talked about this. I was born the year ET came out. It's a part of my life.
I get it.
There's a whole reason for ET, but you're right. Like
substitute any of the other collectible things that you have.
I could probably sell a poster that's just collecting dust in my art folio thing under my bed and get one probably. Yeah. And it would totally justify it. I want one so bad just to draw on. Dude, I want to shift from this topic.
Can I say one more thing about the drawing? Yep. When I was sick and not feeling good, drawing and coloring the drawings, all kind of crazy colors and fucking around with all the brushes and just seeing how like you'd be amazed when you were talking about the tactile, like pencil to paper, this is just a screen. It's a plastic stylus on a plastic screen. But the dynamics of the brushes.
Oh, like pressure sensitivity and
pressure
stuff?
Pressure sensitivity and like painting with a watercolor brush and like blending the colors.
Just the physics of everything.
It's
just
fucking amazing. Yeah. And it's like really relaxing. And there's all these like, even if you can't draw, there are all these like coloring apps. It feels like I'm doing an ad, but that comes later.
No, I mean, you and I are always excited about stuff and we're artists and this is an artist tool.
This
and this is really exciting.
I
only remember using the Wacom, and then I think Nvidia sent me like a old device that's probably extinct now, but
Palm
it also had that was like the last it was called a BlackBerry but it had like a pen and you could draw on it, and that's the last that was like I don't know maybe like 6 years ago or something.
Oh wow.
But that was the last time I tried any new kind of like pen to digital technology.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's like so much better now.
Oh,
and I can't I need one. Yeah. Okay, so let me shift this really quick. Or actually let's do this next ad and then we'll shift to something else about you, Mike. Not to scare you.
Let's talk about me again.
Guys.
You take my picture. Cause I won't remember.
Guys,
this is the same kid 3 months later.
Nice work, Brandon. You're killing it. The boy gets an amp, and all of a sudden, he's John Lennon over here.
He's got John Lennon.
He's a John Lennon. Guys, this next sponsor for Dynamic Banter, a great sponsor, is Quip. We would like to thank Quip for being a sponsor of Dynamic Banter.
It's the only sponsor of the show that I keep in my mouth on a regular basis.
That I put in my mouth daily. Sometimes twice.
Best case scenario, this sponsor's in my mouth at least twice a day.
Guys, the truth is most of us are brushing our teeth wrong. Not for long enough, and forget to change out our brushes on time. We're keeping them close to the toilet, getting a lot of feces and urine all over them.
Not doing a big smile.
That's because most brands focus on selling flashy gimmicks rather than better brushing, but not Quip. So what makes Quip so different? Well, for starters, Quip is an electric toothbrush that's a fraction of the cost of the bulkier brushes, while still packing just the right amount of vibrations to help keep your teeth clean. Quip's built-in timer helps you clean for dentist-recommended 2 minutes with guiding impulses or pulses that remind you to switch sides. Super rad, super easy. Very swag 365. Quip also comes with a mount that suctions right to your mirror and unsticks to use as a cover for hygienic travel wherever you take your teeth. It's like a space-age toothbrush that's super rad. Oh, and it was just on Oprah's O-list and named one of Time's best inventions. And is the first subscription electric toothbrush accepted by the American Dental Association. No big deal. Huh. Oh, and they're just backed by a network of over 20,000 dentists and hygienists, and hundreds of thousands of happy brushers use Quip every day, like Mike and myself. So guys, Quip starts at just $25. That's right, $25. And if you go to getquip.com/banter right now, you'll get your first refill pack free with a Quip electric toothbrush. That's your first refill pack free at getquip.com/banter. That's GETQUIP.com/banter. We love you, Quip. Thanks for being a sponsor. Guys, get those brushes in your mouth.
We remember when we did our live show and we gave one out?
Yeah.
How excited that girl
yeah.
was.
Yeah. And she emailed us or something, or she tweeted at us or something with a picture of it.
I got brand new teeth.
Speaking of tweets, Mike, I want to discuss your fucking hilarious roast tweets.
Oh, thank you, man.
Mike did a thing the other day. That was very funny.
We went to Palm. Why can't
Palm
I
remember Desert, Palm Desert, Springs.
Palm Springs, one of my favorite places in the world.
It's wonderful. It's beautiful. It's a desert paradise.
Yeah, and we always pass the sign for Idlewild. I always think about
you. Yeah, man, it's a nice little town.
Still have not been.
Sleepy hippie town.
And we were there.
Do you see the Cabazon dinosaurs? Do you ever stop there, or you just look at them?
No, I don't.
You don't want to talk about it?
I say I'm not in Palm Springs yet, and I hit the gas.
Do you like, know what I'm talking about, though?
I know Cabazon, but I don't know what you're talking about.
The dinosaurs.
About.
The big dinosaurs you see off the freeway?
I don't. Wow. I've never seen dinosaurs. Okay. Been there like
Check
five
it out.
Times. I've never,
There's always I've big always billboards that goes like, turn, exit this for the Cabazon dinosaurs.
I didn't even see those.
Oh, my goodness. You Maybe they're hibernating. I would love to see pictures of you looking fake happy in front of a dinosaur.
Yeah, it's not a problem. I can make that happen.
I'm sure you can.
But we were there with two of our friends from the East Coast, and we, my childhood and young adulthood was spent making fun of my friends and getting made fun of unmercifully.
And we all roast each other, and it's fun.
A little bit, but not. It's
oh,
nothing
not to the
like,
degree of you what you used to do.
Yeah,
oh,
it's that's nothing. Funny. It's nothing like that.
We like to make fun of Elliot a lot. Elliot is the roast.
Elliot's the closest thing we got.
Yeah, we do a lot of streams with Elliot where he wears dumb hats.
Why does he do that?
Because Elliot can't.
Young Hunter hat.
He can't help it. He's from Florida.
It's like I need at least one camouflage hat.
As much as Elliot is leans to the civilized woke side of his persona, he'll always be a Florida boy.
Oh yeah, he has a lot of people don't know this. He has a duck whistle on his keychain.
He totally does. Yeah. He's got a junk drawer full of spark plugs.
The kid has never touched a lawnmower
and he doesn't even
life.
Know what they are.
He just takes them out and looks at them every
yeah.
once in a while.
And every time he moves, he's like, oh, I got to take my spark plug and dump them in a new drawer with all these nails, random nails and screws.
What am I forgetting? I got my electronic toothbrush. I got all my books on philosophy and capitalism. Got my spark plug bag.
Got my bag of assorted screws. Loose screws. Got my loose screws. Anyway.
It's true. He's a good guy.
We just roasted him right now. That's how easy it is to roast Elliot.
Boom roasted. But we were, I was hanging out with these two people, and it was making me miss my other friends from home. And I went on Twitter, and I was like, you know, this is the way we used to treat each other, and I kind of miss it because I can't do that with everyone here. I've done that with some people here who are like, we don't like that. Don't
yeah,
do that.
Yeah.
And then
there's a lot of that, and it makes me sad.
Me too, but it's okay because people are different, like we were talking about before. Mm-hmm. And then I just don't do that with those people anymore.
Sure.
Because as soon as you know that they can't handle that or mm-hmm. that makes them like really sad, you don't. If you want to remain friends with them, you don't.
Right. That. And that's simple.
But I was like,
simple rule of thumb.
Reply to this tweet with you Or with me, if you want me to roast you, and you, if you want me to roast me. And then I said, I'll get to as many as I can before dinner. And it was really fun.
And it's a wonderful take on the, I've got a few minutes at the airport, ask me anything.
Yeah, 100%.
And because it's just like, it's
but that's the, it's the equivalent of saying, like, also, my life is none of your business, and I'd love to make fun of you to make myself feel better.
But it's also you showcasing your skills and using it, using Twitter as a tool, and also entertaining people, which is three things that all are happening at the same time without even trying hard. And
the
that's
most
wonderful.
On brand tweet I've ever done. 294 responses,
and I love. I didn't read all of them, but one of my favorites was. Someone said roast me, and it I think it was you. I love that you. I mean, this is just obvious, but you mostly went for the screen or for their avatar, their picture.
Yeah, because I don't know anything about everybody.
Yeah, but you. Sometimes I was surprised you went to people's timelines and you were like, Rebecca, you RT, you retweet too much. Stop retweeting.
Also retweet this.
Also retweet this. But one of my favorites was this guy that's just like smiling like a goofball in his avatar. And you're like, your eyebrow should go where your mustache isn't filled in.
Half a mustache.
Yeah, you'd have a mustache.
Just move one of your mustache to the left side of your
eyebrows and move it down to where your mustache isn't. And that'll fix that.
Holy shit.
But I loved it. It was a great time.
My favorite one was Malcolm's. And I ruined
it.
Oh,
I saw him
say
me, but I didn't see it. Tell me what it was.
So Malcolm said,
Malcolm, friend of the show, star of AMC's Preacher. And NBC's Timeless, which is now canceled, rest in peace.
Rest, R.I.P.
He's good. Yeah, anyway, go ahead.
Clock blockers. So I said, they all had a specific structure. Like they would start with hi, the other person's name, and then they would end with have a nice night. That's all of them. So Malcolm goes, me. And I said, hi, Malcolm. You're on 6 TV shows, and I bought you a cool hoodie. You're rich, and you've never bought me shit. Fuck you. Have a nice night.
Oh my God, that's fucking perfect.
And then the only thing that's more on brand for me after that was him saying, you spelled my name wrong. And then me saying, listen, I've got a lot of people to get to. I told one girl to nice a nice night. So that's kind of where I'm at right now.
And did he respond?
No, he was out after that.
Malcolm is also that's so funny because it's an incredibly relatable thing. Malcolm, well, we'll talk about this after because it's ridiculous. But
tell
me
a personal thing about.
I love this bit. I just realized that what I was going to say was way too personal, and it's fine. But it's too funny, too real, too funny, too furious. Very funny bit, Mike. I hope you keep doing it. It's not easy, I'm sure, because you have not much time.
Takes
in a
lot
day.
Of time.
But it was also I'm sure people are clamoring for you to fucking make fun of them.
It did. It made Whitney for some reason has wanted me to roast her for like a long time.
Yeah.
Like when we were in SourceFed, she's like, "Let's do a roast," and Mike has to roast everybody.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I will, but we're not in a good place as a company right now, and it's only gonna be her fault. So we can't do
did
that.
You roast her on Twitter?
No.
Oh, okay.
She asked for one, but she broke the rules. I said, I'll get to as many as I can before dinner.
That's the other thing.
Like,
I
when
talk
do you
about.
Think I'm having dinner?
This might be a long episode, but I totally want to talk about that in just a second. But I wanted to talk about how Mike and I don't know if we've talked about this on a podcast yet, but we might have talked about it on a stream or something, but Mike and I when we're not doing dynamic banter, which is not which is kind of rare, but Mike and I sometimes will hang out and when we're not busy. And it's due to busyness and nothing else. Mm-hmm. But we'll this breakfast burrito is real getting real cold. we have access to Matt Robb's Plex server.
Yeah.
Where he has like classic roasts, classic Dean Martin roasts.
Yeah.
And Mike and I started to like just one day we were just like shooting the shit. And I was like, let me put on something funny. And we just put on one of the Dean Martin roasts. And if you don't know what that is, Dean Martin back in the day, Martin Lewis, was like a whole, whatever. I'm not going to talk about Martin and Lewis. Fuck you. Look up Dean Martin if you want.
You have Google. You don't have to explain things to
There's
people
no
anymore.
Way I'm going to explain Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis and all that to you.
It's part of the Rat Pack. And
part of the Rat Pack and very incredibly famous man. Anyway, he started the roasts, mm-hmm. basically, the Friars Roasts. And he's the roast master, and they would roast people. But Mike and I started watching these classic roasts from like the 70s and like maybe even late 60s, some of these.
I don't even know.
Some of them were black and white, I thought. I don't know, whatever. Anyway, but we would just do our
Explain own. What black and white is.
Well, it's like monochromatic. Mike and I would do our own kind of like additions to it, like almost like a Mystery Science Theater, but not. It was as if we were the people on
yeah,
the dais.
Like
the
an
dais.
Extension, like tags. Giving
yeah,
them
we're
tags.
Tagging on things yeah, that they yeah. would say, and it started to make us laugh a whole bunch.
Oh, too much.
And then we brought Elliot over once.
That's what gave me kidney stones.
Dude, what if you found out laughter causes kidney stones?
I'd be like, well, I'm going to be in pain for the rest
oh
of my life.
Oh, my God.
I would
I think
not
I,
laugh. I'd be Elon Musk, and I would just fucking... When was the last time you think Elon Musk laughed at something?
He probably laughs every time he looks at his bank account. Like the Joker. Like the Joker when he fell off the building in the first Batman.
Yeah.
dude, if laughter caused kidney stones, I might consider becoming a monk and just moving to a
oh,
mountain.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And you just wouldn't joke around anymore?
I don't know,
anymore?
Man. I don't know. It's so who I am. It is one of those things where it's like against all odds. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But I'd really strongly consider never laughing again. But which is very sad. That's almost like never masturbating again or huh. never having an orgasm again.
Huh.
I talk a lot about cum. Anyway, so we brought Elliot over to watch Mike and I and to join in on us making fun of the roast and riffing with the roast. Uh-huh. And Elliot joined in and Elliot was like, fuck, this is hilarious. So we were like, man, we got to do something with this in some capacity. And just to tease the idea of us doing some kind of roast thing. And I know... Maybe back in the day, Harley from Epic Mealtime talked about doing a YouTube roast or something. And part of me feels so gross about the idea of like a YouTube roast.
Write down 10 YouTubers who could take it.
I mean, that's the thing. It's like when I think of like a YouTube roast, I see something that ends up being like
a bunch of tweets afterwards.
Yeah, and just fake and flashy, like the fucking like
dude,
like
I would
the streamies, you know, like it's
oh,
like
yeah,
a,
yeah,
like
yeah.
a fucking crane camera.
I would do that
and like,
in a hot second for free if it was never filmed or put anywhere.
Well,
like,
that's the
your
thing.
Birthday that time.
Yeah, that was because
that's how you know
it's still
it's
the
real
ultimate
and honest and like and don't even sell tickets because all those fuckers have phones.
Yeah, yeah.
And or take everybody's phones at the door and sell
yeah,
tickets and
yeah.
have like a great time and like serve dinner and shit.
I mean, I think you could do like a secret roast that like LA people or like if you toured around with your comedy and you're also like, fuck, I'm in Toronto. Why don't we do a roast here?
Yeah.
And you just do.
Maybe we can get somebody to sponsor it.
You do it like a secret thing. Like, you know how there's like the this is kind of a really obscure connection, but. Jason Reitman, son of Ivan Reitman, who wrote or who directed Ghostbusters and is an amazing director. Jason Reitman did like Up in the Air or something. He directed a lot of stuff, but he would do these like secret script reads with like huge celebrities, and he would just go to random venues and be like, "Tomorrow night we're reading the script of Ghostbusters with Seth Rogen and like Chris Rock and everyone's coming to like just read and it's just actors reading the Ghostbusters script." And it would be very hard to get tickets to and it wasn't filmed and it wasn't you couldn't take pictures and you couldn't film it and
yeah.
But we could maybe do the comedy world version of that.
Yeah.
And just do fucking roasts.
Yeah.
We could do it at a goddamn open space for fuck's sake.
Yeah.
We could make it happen, but I think it would be a lot of fun. And I don't know, man. It's really one of those things where it's like the version that we're doing when we make fun of the old roasts is so different from us just like getting our friends together and doing roasts.
Oh, yeah. It's a completely different
thing. It's a completely different thing. And I really want, like, I feel like the idea of a roast is fun, but it's maybe a little tired and it's not new. But this thing that we're doing with the old roasts is mm-hmm. new. And I feel like there's something there we can do. Whether it's we screen the old roasts at a theater and we just talk over it like we do at home.
Yeah.
To an audience, with an audience,
we should just try doing that at open space.
I think that's easy and it's different and it's new and it's fun.
$50 a ticket.
Why not? People will pay it.
Because I work real hard and I don't have any money.
Rhino Balls will be there.
Like, guys, can you get me in?
I don't know, man. I mean, you've been on a comp on our list for 3 years, man. Give us some money. Okay, so anyway, I do want to talk really quick about the people that ignore when a tweet, what time a tweet goes up.
Yeah, no one gives a shit.
But I think, but maybe it's too long of a tangent. But I just want to say, like, in reference to your roast tweets, mm-hmm. your initial tweet said
the deadline was at the end of the tweet.
There was a deadline in the tweet.
Yeah.
Which just further proves that either people don't read the whole fucking thing.
No, they read it. They just don't give a shit.
Or they just don't give a shit.
They're like, I'm me. I could get one too.
Right. This is fun. I want one.
Yeah.
It's the equivalent of like the free t-shirt at the concert. It's yeah. like, hey, man, you got any more of those free t-shirts? Dude, 2 hours ago, we threw the last t-shirt into the crowd.
Uh-huh.
What do you want, man? What
well,
do you
they
want
were free. Now there's a bunch of people they walking around free. With t-shirts, and I don't have one.
You had them. So where are they?
I saw you have them. How could you not now?
Did you watch me throw the last one I had, sir? Yeah. That's where it is. Oh, go talk to that person. but anyway, there is a tweet thing where it's like, I'll do like, I'm streaming on Twitch right now. Come hang out.
Yeah.
And then it'll be like 7 hours later and uh-huh. someone will be like, did I miss it?
Can I tell you what the worst version of that is?
Yes,
from
please.
The beginning of time, and Megan Tonjes will back me up on this.
Please.
We used to go on tour and it happens when we go on tour now. We will go to Chicago, Illinois, just an example, and then we will do the show and have a great time, and then we will get in the car and we will leave, and that's when the tweets start.
Oh no.
And those tweets say,
I came to your
come
show
to Chicago.
Oh.
Or yeah. or they'll say, and this is what a lot
that's
of younger
worst.
People don't understand, like, I would come but I had homework that night. We could die at any point. And then when we die, you got to be like, I decided this was like a once every 6 years thing that these musicians come to my town.
Yeah.
And I decided to, I couldn't switch my shift at the Coffee Bean, you know?
Did that help you in any way when you got that? When you get those tweets, is that
no,
does
no,
that
no,
make
no.
you?
It's the least helpful.
Does it do anything to your life?
I mean, it's if I'm searching for like a nice thing, it's nice that somebody wanted to. Come.
Right there, you go. There's
but
the
there are so many
it,
people
yeah.
who have made such a great sacrifice to drive to LA to see stand up from like fucking Arizona or Canada.
Yeah.
I meet these people all the time.
Yeah,
and people drive and they make great sacrifices. Just because they want to, you know, they've seen you as an entertainer for so long and they want to be a part of it and they want to meet you and like tell you that they appreciate you or just come see or not talk to me.
Right.
Just come like see and hang out. And that's so cool. And to be in the same town and to be like, oh, I was going to come, but my friend had a birthday that night. Fuck you. Fuck your friend. Your friend's going to have a birthday next year. Guaranteed.
I guarantee it. Yeah.
I won't be in Oklahoma next
Even
year.
Even if they're dead, they'll have a birthday next year. I swear to God.
Everyone's gonna Facebook about it.
Your birthdays go on even when you die.
Everyone knows that.
anyway, okay. It didn't go on too long, so I'm happy about that. Okay, so we're done with that topic, right? Okay, so let's do a quick history road because it's been so long. And I don't know. Maybe this isn't a history road. I just feel bad because people keep submitting history roads and
no,
we're not
great.
Reading them. And I feel like people are going to stop and then history road will just die. And I don't want that to happen at all.
Well, don't put that out into the universe.
No, we'll just don't stop sending us history roads. I swear we'll get to them.
Stop. I also want to thank
sending
everybody.
Us history roads.
So many people have hit me up with nice comments about the last podcast. And just a lot, like a lot of different comments about like being vulnerable.
Yeah.
And that's, I just want to say that I appreciate that very much.
It was a great episode, man, and your story was very good. And I'm glad you now have a resource for when people are like, what happened?
I don't have to say it again.
Just listen to this fucking episode. Yeah. That's perfect. What a great way to tell friends things that happen in your life. I'm just going to start doing that.
Yeah. Next time you're in traffic, I'll tell you.
I can't tell you how many times I had to tell people the story of Bree and I.
I can't imagine. See, that's the problem with like being in a relationship and on the internet at the same time. But you also, you're the person who lives it and goes through it. Yeah. So you don't owe anything to anybody.
True. But it's like if friends want to know, it's like, of course I'm going to tell them. But it's like I'm so sick of it. And it's not fun.
A lot of friends will respect.
Maybe I'll just start doing like personal versions. Like I'll just record myself telling the story.
Do a Google chat.
And then I'll just give it to my friends.
Yeah.
Here's what happened.
Yeah.
Send me questions after. Okay. Anyway.
Oh, God. And I'm out.
Been a while.
History.
Oh.
History.
They used your song in a commercial.
Also one of my favorite tweets. I don't think this is a history road, but it was an interesting email sent to us from Shane Kent, who says, kidney stone dick camera, in quotes. He says, hi there, Leal boys. I'm so very glad that you two have been able to meet up again for recording more dynamic banter. Thank you very much. I wanted to write and let you know that I'm an electrical engineer and that I've been involved in a medical device startup in the Bay Area for the past 2 years where we're designing the same type of pee-pee inspector tool that Mike was talking about on this past week's episode of the DB. The correct name for a tool like that is an urological endoscopic device.
That makes sense.
More specifically, the type that Mike was describing is an therapeutic endoscopic device because it has a working channel where Leal grabber tools can go reach all the way up into your kidneys to grab out the bad boys that are logged up in there, which is what you said. Uh-huh. Says this type of technology is really amazing, especially considering how the procedures used to be done way back in the day.
I'm not going to want to.
I've attached a little picture showing how these procedures used to be completed. Perhaps you can describe it to the listeners.
I don't want to be a part of this. This is a too soon type situation.
It's like two PTSD type situation.
Yep.
The image is terrifying. Okay. It shows like a Victorian man dressed in like a 7-piece suit.
Top hat during surgery.
You got to look your best.
Well, if you don't mind, get up into my urethra.
I say, old boy, you don't mind if I grab your stone right out of your penis.
You've got a touch of the cock rock.
So this gentleman is sitting in a chair and he's dressed very nicely. His pants are
cross-legged reading the paper.
His pants are down to his thighs. He's wearing a monocle. His pants are down to his thighs and and he's sitting in a chair and the expression on his face is quite interesting. Dude, it's so old-timey. There's an oil lamp on the table next to him where you like turn the little switch and the flame goes up.
Yeah, yeah.
And the doctor looks like...
He has a headband with an oil lamp attached to it.
He does have a headband with like a giant fucking...
mirror.
One of those mirror things with like a tiny hole which he's using to peep his work.
Mm.
But he looks like a villain from a 1920s train robbery.
How curly is his mustache?
Super curly. Uh-huh. And he's also wearing Willy Wonka's full costume, and he's about to stick a tool into this man's penis.
Dude, he fell, and then he somersaulted, and he stuck a tube. What do you
and
get
he gave him a
when
golden
your kidneys
ticket.
Make stones?
Gotta drink more water and stop drinking scones.
Stop eating scones.
Ooh, man. That was a bungle.
We blungled.
Dude, but the lamp, it shows in the diagram that the oil lamp is reflecting light onto the man's penis with the like mirror thing, which I hope it didn't burn. But there's so many strange tools on the table and he's about to stick something in that man's penis and it looks pretty terrifying.
And the guy's awake and
guy's fully awake and he's out. He's wearing his suit very well.
Good.
But I'll try. Maybe I'll put this picture on our Instagram or something, even though it's terrifying. He says, anyways, I hope you two born boys keep on keeping on. Thanks for always making me smile and laugh best, Shane.
Thank you, Shane.
Thank you, Shane.
Thank you, Shane, for giving me the stomach quimbles.
I want to do another history road, but man, these are long, and I say it every time, and I'm sorry, but
just pick one and then instruct the audience to hit the 2x speed button.
Okay, well, let's just do this one. This is from oh my goodness.
Also, Papa John's pizza has always been the worst pizza.
Yeah, but Little Caesars is pretty bad too.
I would eat Little Caesars even when I didn't want pizza to avoid Papa John's for the rest of my life.
Just to never see Papa John's again. This is from Barrento. I cannot pronounce his last name, but he says, History Road, Mike did this to me. Hello, I have attached my History Road. I hope you guys like it. Lurf Barrento.
Lurf.
Let me pull this up. Jesus Christ, where the fuck did it go? Okay, here we go. Hello, Lou boys. First, I wanted to send some quick lurf to Mike. Hope you're feeling tippy-top. With that out of the way, Mike's penile insertion experience reminded me of something I witnessed 2 years ago that I thought, until now, had successfully repressed.
Oh, man.
Everything I'm about to say is 100% factual. Now, allow me to tell you what happened on the night of July 4th, 2016. Cue noir music. No.
You don't tell us how to run this show.
I'm sorry. You're not running my audio over here. You can send in an application and maybe you can run the audio, but you're not doing it now. 11 p.m., Cleveland, Ohio. It was a night of celebration. The Cavs has won the finals last month. The city was still buzzing with pride. I was the only 1 year into college. I was in Cleveland for 6 weeks shadowing a bunch of doctors. I remember being offered the opportunity to shadow a urologist, to which I promptly turned around and made myself scarce. I put on my white coat and traveled into the emergency room, and what I saw there changed me. Mm. Oh, man, here we go. I'm so sorry about this, Mike.
No, you're not. No, you're not.
Bright-eyed, I spoke to the attending physician. Sorry to bother you, but who are you?
Dick stuff.
Who are you, he managed to say, between eating whole sushi in one bite.
In the operating room? Let's scrub in.
I'm the student who is shadowing you tonight. Oh, yeah, this is your first time, right? He asked, to which I replied, yes. This is my first night as an attending physician, so this will be fun. He politely remarked. This is my first night as an attending physician, so this will be fun, he politely remarked. You see, I thought at this point we were friends, that he would perhaps shield me from the cruel reality of emergency room medicine. Slide whistle up. I was
Don't
wrong.
Don't do that.
Slide whistle down. That's the last one. I need to bring the slide. I need to bring all the toys
we
here.
Have
the horns on the floor over there.
I miss the chimes.
I know.
Well.
I'll bring it in. I'll bring it all in.
Okay.
I just don't want Joe to fuck with it on the Valley Cast. I don't want anybody to steal
it. It can't
our bits.
Be. I wanted to talk about that. The shit can't be the same. Shit has to be different.
I know. I'm gonna have like a box
it
of our stuff.
It already sucks that we have the same fucking.
I know.
We could put up the posters. Every
I think
time
we
we're
should.
Here.
I think we could. I think we could find a way to switch the posters out like we used to do on Table Talk or something.
Okay.
Anyway, as we talked, a nurse approaches him and says, "We have a patient coming in with a police escort."
Oh no.
Uh-oh, he states. I begin panicking. You see, prior to arriving, I had eaten Five Guys and rewatched Shaun of the Dead. So you can imagine I was very zen. Why would you... Okay. In come five police officers, each looking more upset than the other.
Each one more upset than the next.
I say, old chap... With a 23 skidoo in the arts. Looking like a hayseed. Then in comes a handcuffed man who I can only assume was Owen. Or perhaps a younger Burt Reynolds. Drunk beyond anything I've ever seen. It took numerous medical staff to hold him down and handcuff him to his bed. I'm not sure how familiar you are with ER procedure, but he quickly found himself naked and handcuffed to the bed. Slide whistle up.
Is this, first, that was pretty good.
But not in a good way. Slide whistle down.
Isn't this a good example of like doctor-patient privilege?
Yeah, you're like just giving
destroyed.
Us. Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess he's not giving us names or anything. This is kind of the same as the like the stories on the, like I feel like Reddit has a really good like.
Reddit doctors.
Like. Doctors of Reddit, tell us like your craziest emergency room story.
Sure.
And those are the best because there's stuff where it's like the guy's the light bulb was up his ass for 3 days. Income. I remember Steve saying that he initially thought Mike was awake when they inserted his stent in his but he was put under for the procedure. Too drunk to control his bladder, poor Owen was wide awake, no anesthetics, during his catheter insertion. Naked, handcuffed, and screaming in pain. Owen was certainly having a bad day. As Owen and I made eye contact for what seemed like one lifetime, he screamed, "Fuck you!"
Mm.
So that's my history road. I thought I had moved on. I guess I haven't. Love you guys. Mike, I'm still trying to get you to come to Columbus.
Ohio?
You both have influenced my scene of humor so much over the years, and now I laugh at literal silence. Love, your only Ethiopian fan, Barento.
Oh, my God. You can't say that.
That he's our only Ethiopian fan?
Yeah, what if he's not?
If you're not our only... Two. If you are in Ethiopia or are... In fact, if you are Ethiopian...
Any part.
Send us an email. Sound off.
I want all the listeners of this show to spend money on 23andMe.
Let's get to the bottom of this and find out if this man truly is our only Ethiopian.
I appreciate the history road, and it is timely, but all of these stories do give me a negative feeling.
Yeah, yeah. What I'll do is I'll hold off on the relatable stories about penises for now, and we'll get to them at some point. But for now, keep sending us your history roads for sure.
Yeah.
To dynamicbanter at gmail.com.
I'm sorry that man swore at you.
Yeah.
But you have to understand he's probably uncomfortable.
yeah. So anyway, guys, that's that. We finished. That's the end of that history road.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for sending them in, and please continue to do so. I'm sorry we haven't read them in quite some time. Elliot Morgan has just stepped into the room. Elliot, you want to have a seat?
Dude, he's like a sexier slender man.
Well, I can't turn a mic on for you, but you can pop in.
My parents were saying that they love what you do and they think you're hilarious.
Really?
Yeah,
what clued them up? Was it your show?
Sometimes you swear a little much.
I know. What can I do?
I think it's pretty, you just swear a little less, I guess.
That's not going to happen.
Ellie, you have anything to say about capitalism before we wrap up?
I'm more than capitalism, okay? I'm also depression.
I did say about you earlier, Ellie, you can listen to the episode if you want, but I said that we were talking about your dumb hats that you wear sometimes while I wear a dumb handkerchief on my head.
Yeah, my camo hat.
A camo hat. Yeah, your camo hat. And I was like, as much as Elliot lives in like a higher brow kind of like sensibility, you can't take the Florida out of that boy.
I actively choose to try to keep a little bit of Florida in me. I also want to clarify, I'm not depressed. I have a good life. I'm really happy.
Can I tell you one more thing that involves Elliot?
A lot of people think I'm sad all the time because I don't care.
Oh, sad Elliot is a brand that's way gone.
So gone.
Bygone brand.
Now it's just Elliot doesn't care.
This is capitalism, Elliot.
Yeah, capitalism. I like to say socialist Elliot. But...
All right. Go ahead, Mike. What were you going
to
say?
Elliot does this thing where he'll ask me to film zany things that he does. He'll hand me his phone and he'll say, "Can you film this for me?" He did it last night at 1 o'clock in the morning as he was riding a Lime scooter.
And what'd you do, Mike? What did you do?
And I refused to do it because I just want to hang out sometimes. But here's my new thing.
He wants to hang out and have a good time, so he stops the flow of the evening and goes, "No, I don't want to film."
And directly ignores our line of work and what we do.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
The fact that it's integrated into our
life. And it's actually beneficial to our
choice.
And beneficial
and
to your
joy,
friends.
Joy to
so beneficial to your friends.
I will never
a good
refuse
thing to do
again,
for a friend.
But I am I've never done it before. but here's the new process. I will take the phone, you will unlock it, and I will go to Venmo, and I will Venmo myself $150.
You're not
going to
do
And then I'll
that.
Film anything
what
you
you're saying from now on, that's
from
what you're
going
to do?
Anyone who hands me their phone
that's a bad friend.
And says,
that's a bad friend.
Would you mind filming
that's
this
a
for
bad
me?
That sounds like the kind of friend that wouldn't go to the punch box to come up to my apartment and make me come down
to
the
gate. Dude, I'll tell you what else. It also sounds like a friend who could afford a house all of a sudden.
Wow, you're going to have the tiniest house. That's going to be so sad, and you're not going to film any of it.
I'm going to spend all $150 on a house. I'm going to be laughing.
That's a really good bit.
Live alone in your dumb, that's boring house.
That's a good
your
bit.
Sad house.
That's a good bit because it speaks to
your house is shit, right?
Do you realize why that's a good bit, Elliot? For so many reasons. It's because you do often ask to have videos and photos taken of yourself.
Yeah.
And Mike saying that he wants the he'll use the Venmo bit means that he will have enough money to afford a house. Do you understand that that's the whole bit?
There's a couple jokes in there.
There's a couple jokes. It's a lot to unpack.
Yeah, I mean, one is he doesn't understand houses.
Well, he didn't say where he'd buy it.
Elliot doesn't understand the second part of the joke.
Maybe I don't. Do I not understand the second part?
You ask me so much that I'd be able to
he
afford
would be able
any
to afford
house,
a house
that I want.
Is what he said.
Even with the amount I ask you, you still couldn't afford the house. I get the joke. It's still
but it's an exaggeration.
Right.
It's an exaggeration.
It's an exaggeration based off of...
We can unpack a joke as my, for the rest of the podcast.
It makes it funnier.
It's honestly, it's like a new structure. It's like breaking.
Unpacking the joke, I know. It is. It's that we've reached levels of comedy that no
Would
one
you
wants.
Take a photo
yeah, of course.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, Elliot. See you in a sec.
Wrap up.
Go fuck yourself.
Oh.
All right. Well, anyway, guys, that's the end of the show. It's a kind of a long one today. I don't want you guys to feel like, I mean, we're definitely spoiling you, but this is not going to be a regular thing. It's just nice to be back, and we're feeling a good flow today, and sometimes we'll go long, and sometimes we won't, and I apologize. Or actually, I don't apologize.
You apologize for making things for
yeah,
the people
I don't
who
apologize.
Want things to be made
I don't
for
apologize.
Them. Just end the show.
All right, guys. Well, thanks for listening. Do you have any plugs?
Yeah, a bunch, but it's too long.
Great.
Go to MikeFalzone.com
Mike
for all my shows.
And also, really quick, the Valley Folk has our pilot episode of our new show called Your Show. It's a labor of love. This is what we've been building up to. When we first announced that we were getting back together, this is the show that we have been planning to make and show you guys. And the pilot episode is available now. It has been available for quite some time to the patrons first. So if you want to become a patron and get treats like that, you can go to patreon.com/thevalleyfolk. And we really got a lot of great feedback from the patrons for providing them the pilot first. And it's called Your Show because it will be a blend of things that you would like to see and things that we want to do. And you'll notice a lot of like fun, familiar things in there too. So anyway, check it out, youtube.com/thevalleyfolk. And that's
also
our new show.
Mike in the Morning is on every Tuesday and Friday. It's for everybody instantly.
That's a good show. You do have a Patreon though for your podcast.
Yeah.
Anyway, guys, thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for listening to Dynamic Banter, and we'll catch you guys next time. You're the best. You want to say something at the end there, Mike? You want to say something at the end, Mike?
There are new Dynamic Banter t-shirts all the time, and they're very good quality, and they're very soft, and Byron McCoy makes them, and he's great.
Dynamicbanter.clothing.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.